Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Open your hearts.
Loosen your butts.
It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
And welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We're a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. We just got back from brunch. We reconnected. It's been a week.
It's been
a week.
Sorry, guys. Well, we are a mess. But
we also got back and we're like, well, we have to record this intro for this week's episode. But also, we really desperately want to take a nap.
So we should take a nap. I think the plan is, and that's, you know what, maybe that's the first hot tip of the day. Okay, couples therapy hot tip. Take naps with your lover. Okay, take naps.
Yeah, family naps.
Family naps. We're gonna
invite all the animals
Get
in
the
with
animals
us.
Get the animals in the bed, honey, and just say, this is us. This is us. Thursdays, NBC. Mm-mm. Okay?
Yeah, but what are we, Naomi's been shooting a movie with Netflix.
A Netflix motion picture. And so, you know, I've been on set. It's, blessed and highly favored. Okay, grateful, but also not used to waking up early at all.
Not
and
used
having
to
be around humans all day.
Shooting a scene where you sit in a pool for 8 hours.
Absolutely. Wearing two pair of Spanx, which, you know, quickly start to feel like a scuba suit. A scuba suit that cuts into your gut.
Yeah.
But bless. Honestly, I looked good and I said, you know what? If I can put up with the pain, maybe I got to start wearing double Spanx. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
Me at home, of course, taking the animals to the vet.
We have to stop talking about animals going to the vet. It's like getting so insane and it's boring. So we cannot even go into it. But the fact is, we'll say it again, we do not have Munchausen by proxy. But these animals, look, we have three senior animals. And that's just that on that.
How about that? A t-shirt? With us taking three animals to the vet, and it says, we promise you we do not have Munchausen by proxy. Couples therapy.
No, I don't see anyone buying
it. Oh, no.
I don't see anyone buying it.
No, I, of course. No.
However, while we're talking shirts, as always, I want to tell you to buy a Jubu shirt. I'm really hoping, I'm going to try to get some more Jubu shirts made, and I'm hoping once the Netflix special comes out, they fly off the shelves. Mm-hmm. They fly off the digital shelves. As always, you can check out the link tree on the Couples Therapy site or on my Instagram.
Wow.
Blactress Comedy.
Flawless, Naomi.
I keep my link tree updated, but that's not why we're here today.
We're here today because we have two wonderful guests, Naomi.
I know. Do you want me to tell everyone about them?
Sure.
Today we are talking to BFFs Andrew Farmer and Anna Drezin. Anna is a co-head writer for SNL. Andrew and Anna both write on Miracle Workers on TBS. And they host the podcast Scary Stories to Tell in the Pod, which, yes, Andy and I have been on, but that's not why they're here, okay? Just friends, we want to talk to friends. Also, if you did not know, Andrew Farmer is the funniest person on Instagram. He's doing my favorite series, which are 31 aunts
yes,
for Halloween.
That's amazing.
And each day is a new post where he's like an aunt, as if there was an aunt in a given, like, horror movie.
Uh-huh.
So far, my favorite has been the aunt, in Midsummer. It's her calling Danny to see how she's doing. So I believe his IG is That's a Jellyfish.
Yeah.
But also, just honestly, You'll be delighted. He's constantly giving us wig work. And wig very work. Fun.
Yeah, we've known Anna for... I was on like a... Like we were doing... trying to be in an indie improv team together. Like
I didn't know that.
8 or 9 years ago.
With Dreezy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, ugh, but, indie improv.
But Andrew is a new friend and someone that we discovered on Instagram and then...
And also like we discovered him in Quar.
Yes.
So it was like a real... like it's so funny. And so this is actually our first time talking to him. Yeah. So for someone where I'm like, I love you. I know you. We're besties. This is actually our first conversation that you're hearing. So take that with you. Also, I did a lot of... not attacking as much as prescribing to Anna Dresden, and then Anna had to tell me whether I was right or not. Do you know what I mean? Like I kept being like, you always have a boyfriend and I think you hate me. Do you know what I mean? Like I would just say that and then just see how she responded. So don't worry, the tone was always lovely, but I was in a weird space, I'll say.
Before we get into the episode though, Naomi, we have one update, one comment.
I love it.
I love, you know, I'll tell you this, listeners, you are more likely to have your comment updates we're gonna play till the cows come home,
obviously,
but you're more likely to have your comment played on the show if it comes in the form of a voicemail.
And that the truth.
We have a comment here from Roz Hernandez's episode.
Yes.
And one of the questions was
basically when you find out your friend is the toxic one.
Yes.
And you're like, how do you tell them?
Yeah, if your friend is always complaining about people, you know, that what's that comment, the thing that's like, if you run into like one asshole during the day, that person was an asshole, but if all you run into is assholes, you're the asshole.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's the toxic person.
Yes.
So this person wrote in, is like, what do I do? My friend's kind of toxic. How do I tell her that she's toxic? And so we got a comment on that from a listener right here.
Hi, Angie and Naomi. I love your podcast so much. It's amazing. You guys are truly the best. I was just listening to your episode with Roz Just for Less, the one that came out this week. And I feel like I have the perfect answer to this question. So, it's about the girl or her roommate's always talking about boys, but she's actually like the toxic one in these relationships. And this is like kind of something I've talked about with my friends a lot. Just this idea of like, when to offer advice versus when to just allow someone to kind of complain and vent. And for me, I feel like the perfect thing is to kind of put it on them. So I'll ask my friends, like, okay, are you looking for solutions or do you just want to vent? Right, because those are two very different things. So if they then say, like, I want solutions, I'm trying to figure this out, then I can come in and be like, all right, well, like, I think you're being toxic or whatever, or, you know, you just need to do this and that, because, yeah. So it puts it on them. And then if they're just saying they want to complain and vent, then fine. And, like, if you can't hear it, then you can be like, okay, I'm really sorry, but, like, I'm at my limit for today or I'm at my limit for this week. But, yeah, that's what works for me, because it's kind of putting it back on them. And when they say, yes, they want solutions, they can't really get mad at you for giving them to them. And if they say they just want to be a vent, just want to vent, you can be a good friend and listen to them. And kind of give them what they need. Okay, I love you guys so much. I'll probably die if you actually play this. But, yeah. Love you. Bye.
I don't want her death on my hands. She said she'll probably die if we play this. But we didn't find that out to the end. So now she may be deceased.
I like this, Naomi. I like this advice. I don't remember what we said. I think this is different. But, like, you put it on the other person. And also, there's a very, like, traditionally masculine feminine kind of thing. Like, it's like the traditional, like, kind of masculine thing is to, like, offer solutions, and the very traditional feminine thing is to just, like, listen and vent, like,
listen and support.
Mm-hmm. Again, mm-hmm. I say traditional, capital T traditional.
No, I understand.
In quotes.
I understand what you're saying. Definitely.
But gender is a construct.
Absolutely. We know that, but that is a good advice. You just say straight out, what are you looking for from this conversation? Mm-hmm. And if it's like, I want to vent, I'd be like, literally start the timer. You got 120 seconds. So I think that was very good. Thank you so much for calling in, and I really hope you're not deceased. Now, what do we have, Andy? You said we have an update, which is my favorite.
Yes. Naomi, I gotta say, Naomi's already putting on her, like, her sleep cap. You know, her old-timey Ebenezer Scrooge sleep cap.
I have my candle.
Yes, she's lit her candle.
I'm holding my candle, and my sleep dress is on.
All right, we got an update. This comes from, do you remember in Langston Kerman's episode?
Absolutely.
A person wrote in and said, is it too early for me to start talking marriage?
Yes, exactly. It was like, how do you kind of bring it up without seeming like you're desperado?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, here we go with their update.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. This is actually a update, I guess, follow-up update. I had called in and asked about how to bring up the topic of marriage without sounding like someone who's pressuring someone else. And you guys had answered my question with Langston. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for answering. The first thing that he said, actually, that you all agreed with was that 26 is really young. And I got to say that that definitely changed my perspective on things. For context, I live in Detroit, and I'm from a pretty traditional non-American family. So in my family and where I'm from, 25 is pretty much the cutoff for getting married. Otherwise, after that, you are an old maid. So I just have to remember that that's not actually the truth and that there's people all over the country that are waiting to make big changes like that and that there's no rush. Anyways, thank you so much for your thoughtful answers. The follow-up here is that I was bragging on the phone to some of my friends that you guys had answered my question when you had Langston on as a guest, because we are all big Insecure fans and we have a, you know, group crush on him. So as I was bragging to my friends about that, my boyfriend overheard and said, oh, I didn't know you called in to an advice podcast. And I said, yes, sir, I did. And ultimately ended up playing the episode for him. And that was the gateway to our conversation about it. So things are going really good right now. And you also have lots of new fans in Detroit of the podcast. So really appreciate your help. And who knows, maybe I'll have another question to ask you guys soon. But hope you're both well. And when it's safe to do so, please come to Detroit. You have lots of people waiting to see you. Okay, bye, guys. Have a great day.
Wow. Okay. Now, you know my whole family from Detroit, girl. You need to be spreading the word in the D, okay? Get everybody to be listening to the pod. I love that.
From Joy Road to
Highland Park, baby. Get them listening. I love to hear it, okay? We need all these fans. I love the group crush. I also, see, and this is what I want. Like, that's always my dream. Like, if I have a problem and then, like, sometimes my dream is that, like, I accidentally, like, leave my phone on while I'm talking to my friends about my mother, and then they respond with how, like, you know, maybe I'm not crazy or not a bad daughter, and then she just happens to overhear it. So this idea of, you know, the boyfriend listening to the actual episode and hearing us, I'm like, that's the dream. That's the dream, because now you've had these impartial randos weigh in and kind of get the ball rolling, and he has something to respond to, and then he doesn't have to feel like, you know, it's you putting him on the spot.
Now, have you ever thought, Naomi, about writing him to Ask Rana and then gifting your mom a Patreon subscription
Absolutely.
To Ask Rana?
Absolutely. She might not like Rana's voice, though.
Uh-huh.
My mom's that kind of person. She'd be like, that accent's too thick. Like the Boston accent.
Your mom's like, it's too much Michigas. That definitely sounds like what your mom would say.
Also, wow, this family, we're 25 as an old maid. Sis, I'm so glad we could remind you of the world outside your household. You are okay. You have tons of time. But I definitely know that feeling where, you know, if you're in a culture or a group where people are all going one way, you're like, oh God, I've got to hurry up. But, you know, 26 is young, you know, to the point where I recently said I don't believe people under 30 exist. You know, that's how young 26 is to me. So you have some time, and I'm glad you guys are having a good combo. Oh, now that's a good update.
That's a great idea for a movie, by the way.
What?
It's kind of like Logan's Run, but instead it's like after 30, you no longer see...
Young people?
Young people.
That's fun. You don't see anybody between the ages of 18 and 30. You see what I'm saying? Like you, I mean, 18 and 29.
Yeah. So No. It's not even... You don't even see anyone. So, yeah. So, like, if you have a child...
You don't have to see them?
Yeah. That's what makes Naomi. I'm creating a world, a sci-fi world, rich with moral complexities.
This is
so... what people want, right?
Yeah. People want moral complexities and the idea that a large chunk of the population would disappear after the year and a half we've had.
What if, okay, Naomi.
Uh-uh.
A sci-fi world rich in moral complexities, but also explosions.
But are those explosions fun, or are they rich in moral complexities?
Well, everything's rich in moral complexities in this world.
Oh, good God. Andy, I have on my sleep cap. I can't even deal with the moral
complexities. Naomi's already tucked in bed.
I'm tucked
in bed. So why don't we get on with the episode? Roll it! Can I set the scene? Okay,
set
so
the scene.
We just recorded an episode of Andrew and Anna's podcast. In the middle of that, I look down. There is a pool of dog urine collecting
our
underneath.
Our listeners are always hearing about Mabel.
but they never hear about it in the moment in media race, Naomi. And I think I just because I feel like that has changed the tenor, the emotional tenor of where we're coming from.
I think you more than me because I'm fine.
Well, I just had to clean up a
exactly.
big puddle of dog urine.
You had so to pick, you had to clean up piss, and I think that that changes your whole vibe. But
so that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah,
just wanted to put
it.
That
reads.
Out there.
It reads. You sound like someone. You sound like someone who's seen urine lately, and that's not a negative thing. Just that you're
really?
In touch. You're in touch with reality.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's a nice way to see it.
Yeah.
Is you that began with an act of service, and I think that is something that I appreciate.
Wow. That's a positive spin on it.
They're very strengths-based, these two. These
we're
two
big on
great
strength
therapists, and that's a beautiful thing. Now, Andy, I don't know how to proceed because we're talking to two people who are not in a romantic relationship.
But they are friends. Okay, this is...
Yes,
hey,
break it down.
This,
break
this
it down.
This is how I envisioned in my head. And then
envision. Share your vision.
Friendship. Talk about friendship. You're both in relationships.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
So it's, there's fertile ground to discuss.
That's true.
But I will start. I will throw something out at both of you and also you, Naomi.
Wow.
And because I thought of this earlier today. I think every couple should have one day where they cosplay as elderly people.
Mm. Yes.
As infirm, just to see if you can do it.
Can you handle the
can
other
you
person?
Can you handle the other person at their most infirm? And if you can, you can relax. You're like, okay, we got the next 40 years down.
I think Andrew and I, maybe we're in the same place. I think we do that every day.
I know. It's a lot of eating soft food and watching old films.
Yeah, films from our youth.
Yeah.
I think Andrew and I are always at our most weak around each other, which is nice.
Well, but what about with your significant others?
Oh, also very weak. I realized I walk less now because I'll be on the couch and be like, can you make it less cold?
And he does. And he
because
will
I
do
don't,
that for you.
I still don't know if turning the air conditioning down means making it colder or making it less blowy. So I just say, can you make it less cold?
We did. Anne and I did manage to find somewhat similar men in our lives who are
really?
handy mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. Cool under certain pressures in which Anne and I might not be so cool and collected.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also people can fix things. I think that is a,
yes.
It was something I was certainly looking for.
Mm-hmm. Now you guys go back, to college. Is that where y'all met?
Yeah.
Yes. We met welcome week.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Orientation week. We were in the same studio at NYU, which is sort of like going
studio.
To church together. Studio, there's different sort of acting pods.
Ugh, I don't want to know more.
It's awful. It's eight different buildings where they lie to the children of lawyers and tell them that it's possible to have a life in the circus without getting your feet muddy. And it's just not.
It is like I think Anne and I we bonded early on. We both got cast in the same improv group. I know we're two for two in terms of things that make you want to shut this podcast off right now. Please don't. But I knew Anna was going to be a very important person in my life very early on when we had to do like our first monologues in class, and Anna picked the villain witch's speech from the film Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
And 1999.
Yep, 1999 I was like, Sleepy Hollow.
This is going to be a very important person in my life. And it has proven to be true.
It's true. And I knew Andrew was going to be an important person in my life when at a Welcome Week event, he kindly smiled at me. And I thought, I can't have a kind friend who knows me for me. I want to be a dumb slut. And having someone who I can connect with on a friendship level is going to get in the way of that. I want to smoke hookah with girls who scare me. I want to I want to wear clothes that make me feel very far away from myself. And yes. I met Andrew and was like, no, this is my soulmate in 100 ways. That's, wow. You ruined it for me. Oh. You ruined it for me.
Wait, let's, I want to interrogate these moments.
Mm, all right, you wanna unpack. You want to unpack.
Okay.
Andrew, when she said the speech from the Bad Witch's speech from Sleepy Hollow, 1999.
No. You could hear how much I wanted to get past that, right?
No way.
I was like, yeah, never. No, different story. And now, different
What's
story.
What's the unusual thing? We pick that. We pick that.
Much like a spider laying eggs in someone's cheek.
What?
Oh, there
you go. Oh, want to know what that is about? Well, why not check out the episode of Scary Stories
to Tell in the Pot
that we are on. So,
what are you, Drew?
A class act. Thank you both. They're really good on the podcast. I assure you that.
But I'm curious. What did you actually like? I know you're telling it now, like in reconstructing this. But did you actually like perk up in the moment and be like, "Oh, I like this person"?
I mean, oh yes. Well, because I knew it word for word as well. If the world were a little bit different, I might have also picked that monologue to have done for my first monologue at theater school that my parents are paying many, many dollars that we didn't have to go to. I think like Anna and I knew Anna was incredibly funny. I knew we had known each other probably for 3 weeks at that point. But when she did that, I was like, oh, okay. Something else, like the strings of destiny are being tied a little more clearly here.
The fates.
Yes, the fates.
Speaking through us.
Wow. Snipping and knotting. And
and it was great. I have to say, it was very well done.
Thank you. I found it on monologues.movies. a Richardson sister in her late 40s. Just exposition. This is how I got the horseman to do my bidding, and I went into his bed, and tonight he rides for you. And everyone else is doing Christopher Durang and very smart, Iphigenia 2.0
moments.
A lot of and they were like, I know it's trod, but I'm doing it. And I was like, cool. I've never heard of any of this, and I'm primarily a stage manager, but I love Johnny Depp makes me horny, and that's why I'm here. And I didn't know. And Andrew was very well experienced theater kid.
I played every grandpa that a 14 to 19 year old could play. I was very outside of my own body, though. The concept of playing a 20 to 30 year old person, I was like, no, please, I'm the grandpa from You Can't Take It With You.
Oh my God, you are!
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, so then honestly, they have been infirm around each other because Andrew's only grandfather. Because
he only plays and out or above.
Yes. And out and above.
But Anna, so then in the moment that Andrew smiled at you, because did you really go, I know you were just kidding, but also was there any real truth there where you're like, oh, I want to ditch whatever persona I had in high school and I'm going, in your words, quote unquote, dumb slut.
Why do you assume that was a new persona? She could have been dumb slut in high school.
You don't know me. My parents were dumb sluts. Their parents were dumb sluts. I think I just felt very uncomfortable, and I knew that everybody around me was very cool and seemed to have 40 years of experience being hot teens. And I was like, I just got here. I don't know what this is. I was an altar server until very recently. And sort of a loose, well-behaved, not loose, very tight, self-sheltering child. I thought there was a Subway on every street corner, and I thought it would take you everywhere. And that is how I...
Didn't you live on Long Island? Didn't you grow up on Long Island?
I didn't come into the city at all by myself, except for one time I went, Jamie Scotto and I saw Trans-Siberian Orchestra at Madison Square Garden. We took the train from Long Island into Madison Square Garden, went up the escalators terrified, saw absolute goth rock, screamed our heads off, and then went downstairs and got on the train home.
Wow. And,
that was the only time I went into the city by myself before moving there. And Andrew, I was like, I don't fit in here. I was so socially awkward that my room was right next to the elevator, and if I heard someone coming down the hallway, I would run back inside in my room and wait for them to take the elevator. I was very tender Very green, God. Very tender. I was tender greens.
You were tender greens, but I think it's so funny you say that because the Anna I met, right? We met you in the UCB scene. Obviously, mm-hmm. you had graduated by then. Whenever I thought of you, I was like, Anna Dresden, keep a man. That's a sentence I would say all the time because I felt like you, Anna Dresden, you always keep a man. You stay having a boo. You stay, you might take like a month off, but you stay having a boo.
I can't believe this is.
And you were very like, I don't know, like, you know, because you're like kind of deadpan, a little dry, like a little cool.
A cool customer. Well, this is what happens.
A cool customer.
Whenever Naomi runs into a cool customer, I also do this too, but we immediately project our insecurities onto you.
Yeah, if you're a cool customer.
If you're a cool customer. Mm-mm-mm. And then try to get, again, we've created now this person that you may or may not be.
Absolutely.
But in projecting our insecurities on you, then we try to curry favor with with this projection.
You're trying to warm up the cool customer. You're like, man, please, man, please.
So, Naomi projected her insecurities onto you and was like, you must be out on the town every night.
No, she keep a man she is just like cool and comfortable.
Because that's not my insecurities. That's not what I projected upon Anna.
What did you project onto Anna? Andrew Farmer, stay with us. What did you project onto Anna Dresden?
Judgment.
Uh-huh.
Of myself, I projected upon Anna.
Yeah, well,
I kept my distance.
The look on Anna's face right now, she is truly slack jawed.
She looks more horrified than we look talking about fear on their show.
I just can't. Being perceived as such a fucking trip, I can't believe it. Because I have such a skewed view of what like what I think other people see me as is so not what it is. I feel that I am very nervous and tiny baby, and like most people. And then it's occurred to me recently, people find me like hard to approach, and that's so crazy because I'm like, but I'm stupid baby, and it's just it comes out sort of like, you know, Long Island woman who's like not nice. I can't believe I feel, and also like the idea that I always have a boyfriend is so interesting because I feel that I am perpetually single is how I see myself, and also that's very wild. Uncomfortable and not cool customer. I can't believe it. Wow, Andrew, are you hearing this shit?
As you said, perception is really a trip, you know? I think most people perceive me as Winnie the Pooh, and I'm really more of a Darkwing Duck. No one knows.
That's funny though, because I do actually perceive you as Margot Martindale.
That, you know, people, I have never done a Margot Martindale impression, and yet I do feel a great kinship with her.
Yeah.
Because people very frequently say that I should play either her son or her, or some combination of the two.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Very Justified season two.
Oh, you just want to bring up Justified, okay? He's watched it now all the way through for the second time. Can't stop talking about Oliphant.
You guys watch a lot of Billboard shows.
Yes.
Like shows that are just on billboards.
Andy watches like all
I watch
the television.
Everything.
He watches at least something of every, you know what I mean? Like he's tried at least every show
I mean, there's some stuff that I just know is outside of like my interests, but.
Okay, please. What are you talking about? What do you say you watch it now? Andy is watching Run the World, which is a black Sex in the City on Stars. This man watches everything.
Okay? Stars.
I've seen that Billboard too.
Is it a billboard?
It might be.
It's Sex and the City, which is it's not great, but it's not bad.
It's light popcorn viewing.
Exactly. I can watch it as I'm falling asleep and I feel no anxiety. It's like it is visual Lexapro.
That's really nice. I need that. I need a show like that now.
And Justified was like that before because it was a rewatch.
Right. So you did, there was no tension because you knew. Mm.
Right. But I want to go back to Andrew's smile. Because in that moment, Naomi and I just projected our insecurities on Anna, but something shone through with that smile. And I'm curious about it. What did you, Andrew, see? This was pre-monologue, correct?
Right, pre-monologue.
This was pre-monologue. Anna and I were on a scavenger hunt throughout the city.
Well, that's what it was. But we met up at Playwrights Horizons, which is an off-Broadway theater, because our theater school was under them.
Yes.
And we were in the audience of a theater and I saw him smile I want to hide.
Is it okay, Andrew? You were like, I'm being seen.
I know. And Andrew, I'm being very frank because I feel safe with you, but I want you to know that I'm aware that what I'm saying is I didn't want to be friends with someone, and that someone is you, and that's hurtful.
I actually really get it, and I don't I think I started college being like, I felt so confident in high school, and now I am nobody here, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think my thought process, I came to high school with a girlfriend who I had in high school. We went to the same high school. We were going to the same program at NYU together. We lived on the same floor in the same dorm room. Yes.
What?
A totally lovely person, very talented person. I'm now married to a man. A lot has happened.
happening between. But wait. Oh, well, okay, I'm sorry. Keep going, because I got questions about that.
But I think, so I arrived, and I remember thinking, like, I've really, my college roommate was a person I went to high school with. Like,
no.
There was so much of, like, my old life here, and now sudden. But at the same time, I felt the most at sea that I've ever felt before. And I think, like, on the scavenger hunt thing, normally it would be a thing that I would roll my eyes and be like, this is a nightmare, let me get back to my friends. But I was really like, I need to meet more people, and I can't be living in high school anymore. Mm-hmm. And I need to so I think, like, Anna was one of the – I had tried talking to another person on the scavenger hunt who made me feel like it was a person who was like, oh, I'm also
Frankie into Muniz. Yeah.
It was Frankie Muniz.
Miss Frankie Muniz.
I heard the first person who was there talk about improv, and I was like, oh my gosh, I also love improv. And this person was like, where did you train? And I was like, okay. This, I am trash and to be stepped upon. And I think, like, Anna was then the next person to come. So I was like, maybe a new friend. But
that's so hopeful and kind and sweet. I would have never talked to anyone again.
But I think that especially college freshmen can sense desperation very well. And I'm sure that there was something in my smile too that was like, help, you know? And everyone's just trying to help themselves.
Right.
You know? I didn't feel any help, not to other you.
Oh, good.
Not to shut you down immediately. No, I think it was this thing, and I had this with Jason, my boyfriend too, where, like, as soon as I meet someone, like, I think people have this sometimes throughout their lives where they know that the person is going to be in their life for a very long time. And I get resentful. I think it was only you and Jason, because it was like, well, I don't even know this person yet. Why would they be a soulmate of mine? Come on, let me pick. No, I don't want to have a lifelong friendship right now.
You wanted agency. You didn't want the world to impose its will on you.
It was the hero's journey. It was refusing the call.
You had to refuse the call. You did.
Yeah.
Like, I think I didn't want to be connected to anyone. I didn't want to see. I was very depressed. It was just like, I don't want to be seen. I want to hide. And I just knew that it was like, no, it's like when someone's being nice to you when you're very tired and you're like, no, I want this. Like, it's so hard to describe. Maybe it's boring to listen to me try to describe it, but.
No, I think people will relate.
We'd tell you if you were being boring.
Yeah.
Would
Andrew,
we?
Do you? Oh, thank you. You're being boring.
We just press a button. It goes, boring. And I'm like, have to stop.
Oh, I always have a boyfriend, so I don't give a shit what you think about me.
I've got mine.
Maybe you can see the Batman memorabilia in my background. But yeah, I'm good.
I wanted to ask about their relations, Andy.
Yeah.
Because I want
to
pick
up. You don't have to ask my permission. You are your own woman.
I'm my own woman. I don't want responsibility. Now. So sorry for that. Now. So really, in a way, we're creating a two podcast experience. Because what I'm about to say is, Andrew Farmer, you said on your podcast, or when we were talking beforehand, that you had quite an interesting first date with the man who is your husband, now your husband.
I got to say, I love when Naomi goes into kind of basically like talk show host mode, where, like, as if, like, we were just chatting, and that acted as the pre-interview, and now she kind of knows, because we said, hold the story, don't tell us.
I said I wanted to have a fresh reaction, so stop talking. See, and I'll tell you, stop talking.
But we do know the premise of this story. And she acted like as if she held up like a blue note card. She's like, so Andrew, it says here that you had a very interesting first date with your now husband. Can you tell us about that?
I have to say, I really respect how well you did that transition, because when I tried to do it on our show, it's like, and Hubbardy Briggle, Hubbardy, and when did you first know that Gerboldap? Like, it's, I truly can't do it. So, well done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my first date with my husband, I broke my back on a roller coaster.
This is insane. Anna, I'm sure you knew about it. Like, you were there when this happened? Were you in the text message?
I was not on the date. No, I feel Andrew and I had a long fallow period where we didn't talk for a couple years. And we've also never directly talked about it.
It's true.
This is what the pod's for.
I want to be gentle with both of us. But yeah, I think that was during that time.
So here's the thing. It was right during that time. And there's so much to the story, I don't even know where to begin. The long and short of it is, I had broken my back on a roller coaster once before on my 10th birthday. I'm not Mr. Glass. I'm Mr. Glass adjacent.
Okay.
Specifically for wooden coasters.
Yes, yes. I love roller coasters. I had had it when I was 10. I had had a surgery. I couldn't walk for 6 months. The first day I could walk again, my parents took me to a theme park with a bunch of friends. I went on an old wooden roller coaster called the Yankee Cannonball. Broke my back, recovered, everything's fine, went on many roller coasters in between, and part of my charming anecdotes on my dating profile at the time was ask me about the time I broke my back in a roller coaster. My husband Chris loves roller coasters very much, and so our first date was at Coney Island. Wow. And I was like, you've never been on the Cyclone, let's go on the Cyclone. We went on the Cyclone once. Smooth, great, everything fun. We went on every other godforsaken ride at Coney Island that is begging to kill several people. Yeah. Everything totally fine. We had one ticket left, and Chris was like, do you want to go on the Brooklyn Cyclone? We went on, we sat in the last row, which, everybody, if you have back or neck issues, do not sit in the last row of the Brooklyn Cyclone. It whips you around more.
Wow. Okay. Write that down if you're listening.
I got two compression fractures, but I didn't really know at the time because I also didn't want to ruin the date. We went out to dinner and then we did go back to my place. I thought everything was great. A couple days went by. I was like, I still feel bad. And
You had sex with a broken back?
I did.
What?
I really, really did. Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to screw this date up. I laser focus on Chris was like, this has got to work. And he's not going to know me as that weird guy who broke his back.
You didn't want to be his anecdote later.
Yes. I don't want to be I don't want to be what he talks about on his next date, you know?
No. Wow. Oh my God. I know that feeling so much. I don't want to be a part of a best man speech. That's my only goal.
Yeah.
Yes.
For someone else's wedding.
Yes.
So Chris and I started, I found out that I had another back break. The doctor was like, yeah, I can't really put you in a brace or anything. Just don't carry anything more than 5 pounds for the next 3 months.
What?
Which is hard to do.
Is that medicine? How is that doctoring?
If a compression fracture is in the right place in the spine, you just need it for it to stay where it is and heal that way.
But how do you can't keep your back still. You're living life.
That was the thing. I couldn't take cabs for a long time because I couldn't be promised that there wouldn't be too much jostling. So
did you take the subway? We're going back and forth.
Because back and forth is fine, but impact is bad.
Okay.
So that would be
down
bad.
Moment.
This stuff is okay. So then Chris and I were dating for a while, and I gradually had exclusively dated women from high school through college, a year after college, and then I started dating men, and then I had sort of gradually come out to some of my friends, but Anne and I were kind of rekindling our friendship, becoming friends again after about a 2 year period, and I realized Anna is someone who I haven't told that I'm gay yet to, and I realized this when I was doing a show at the Pit that Chris, who I was dating at the time, was coming to, and I was like, what are the odds that the two of them are going to meet and talk to each other? I leave the show and Chris and Anna are talking and I'm like, and I go up to them and they are talking like old friends. It turns out they had gone to high school together.
No, you're obsessed with a Long Island girl.
It's
high school is happening. It's coming back.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, hi, how do you guys know each other? And Chris is like, we went to high school. Like, Anna was this actor who, like, I do so funny, blah, blah, blah. And then Anna's like, wait, how do you two know each other? And before I could do anything, Chris is like, we're dating. And I saw, like, the vertigo shot in Anna's eyes.
I have to say, I did find out that you were seeing men from somebody else.
Oh, good.
Before that moment.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm relieved. Yeah.
But
go ahead.
It was just wild.
This changes for me the entire tenor of the friendship in college to now know you were a straight man. Because, yeah. I mean, the idea, Anna, for you to choose a friendship with a heterosexual male at the time, I mean, uh-huh. My God, you were a lost lamb. You were a lost and confused girl. Honey, no.
What? I had a lot of female friendships in college.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I mean, to be out here trying to trust a straight man? But thank God, obviously there was something underneath, because in Andrew, you obviously came into your truth. Thank God.
It took a little while. I think it's interesting, like, everybody comes into their sexuality in different ways. I did not, and I can say this very truthfully. I went to a middle school of the arts. I went to a high school of the arts. I had tons of gay friends. I had tons of gay teachers. Like, what gay, like, what everyone wanted out of, like, what all my gay friends wanted, I was like, oh, I don't want that. And I don't look like that, you know? And so for me, there was an element of like, well, then I actually must not be gay, because, like, I think I thought, well, I'm probably bisexual. I'm somewhere in there. But yeah, it was a very, like, confusing time.
But wait, what do you mean what they wanted? You were like, I don't want that.
I think I was very aware of, like, what the standard of, like, what gay guys considered at the time in, like, the early, yeah, 2000s, the aughts.
Oh my God, the aughts. Oh my God, yeah. Puka shell necklace, Abercrombie, yeah, like, t-shirt.
And, like, yeah, like, what a gay person wanted. And, like, I think I think the first time I saw someone on screen was like, oh, I might be attracted to them, was like Russell Crowe in Gladiator. I was like, something, there's something else here, you know?
Chris looks a bit like Russell Crowe in Gladiator. He's got a little bit of that haircut.
Well, here's what I'll say. I lied just then. My like sexual awakening, I think, was there was a series of books called The Bailey School Kids. And it would be like, vampires don't wear polka dots. Like, Frankenstein doesn't plant petunias. And it was about kids thinking that adults in their town were monsters. Uh-huh. And there is a book called Werewolves Don't Go to Summer Camp. And it's where, like, the kids think their camp counselor is a werewolf. And I was – something happened when I read that where I was like, I am so into this camp counselor. I want him to be my friend very badly. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until years later that another friend of ours pointed out that Chris looks very much like the camp counselor from
Really?
Werewolves Don't
Go to
Summer Camp.
That's so funny.
Oh, extremely. We should send the graphics.
Please do. Please send the graphic. Yes. We'll post it on our Insta.
I will send a pic. So yeah, so I think – but also, I don't know. There were many ways in which I felt very mature because I played so many old people coming to college. But then like romantic and relationship wise, I just was in this place where truly my thought was like, one day I'll be a husband. Like, that was that was kind of it, you know,
to a faceless being.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my goodness.
So wait, and Anna, there was no inkling?
None. None okay. whatsoever. I think I just felt safe around him, mm-hmm, and like, no, genuine shock, which is, it feels offensive to say, like, I can't believe that person's gay. Like, that just makes you sound like someone with horrible politics.
Right. I think in my case, it's that I had no idea how to dress for my body and still don't, you know, it's like, I think it's hard. I think it's hard. We think of that as being a very heterosexual quality.
Andrew,
know?
Yeah, I think when you shop so much at Kohl's as the two of us do.
Yes, that's exactly
what you're just, you are straight. If you're wearing something from Kohl's, you are effectively straight, unless it's the Daisy Fuentes collection, and then you are bi. She's got great, Anna, she knows silhouette.
Anna, you really had the answer to that so quickly about clothing and also Daisy Fuentes' collection.
You got to have it. Andrew, well, I'll tell them about the sweatpants. So Andrew needed to hem his sweatpants for, we had a lot of movement classes where it's sort of sweat and grunt.
Sorry, hold on. As someone who did not go to theater school or ever take an acting class, what is
a movement class?
Yeah. What do you mean grunting and what do you?
My eye just started twitching when you screech halted the conversation on a movement class. Andrew, you want to take this one?
I will say this, and it is hard to look back on this time. The class, our movement class, was actually named African Dance.
Uh-huh.
There's that one.
Ethnicity of the teacher? Just question.
So two teachers. Well, I guess the percussionist in the room, Rob, was a black person, and then the person teaching choreography was a white person.
Okay. Just bless her. Just want to say NYU.
Yeah.
White teacher for African dance. Okay. Go on.
You must. I do think that like it was just to get us to lose our suburbs weight. I think they just wanted, because it was an hour and 20 minutes long.
Oh my God.
And West African dance is a lot of jumping.
Yeah. Real high intensity.
Really. You're moving a lot.
Yeah.
And Anna was a star student in that class, I will say.
Wow.
I don't like that information being out there. I was like, this is just movement. I'm good. This is fine. Yeah, I was very good at it.
You were good at African dance, Anna. I hope that's on your resume.
I think it actually might be.
Special skills.
Yes, man.
I haven't been an actor in so long that it might still be on there.
Now, do you remember last year, like when Quar started, there was a woman from NYU who, made a video that said you're not getting your money back to the students, and then she started dancing. Is that the teacher?
It's not,
but that's very much the vibe. So we had like straight up dance classes like that, but then we also had movement, which was like getting to know your body and like this joint pulls on that tendon, which pulls up on the diaphragm.
Getting comfortable physically, Andy. The thing you're obsessed with, like knowing your body and knowing how to control it for performance.
Yeah, what the fuck is that like? I've never had that.
Well, exactly. You need to take a class.
I don't know. I remember that our movement teacher would get in fights with our voice and speech teacher.
What?
Our voice and speech teacher, not with each other, but like through us.
Yes.
Where like the voice and speech teacher would say like, you need to loosen your belly. Our society tells you to suck it in, but you need to loosen it so that you can have control over your breath. And then our movement, like dance Pilates teachers would be like, stay zipped and hollow all day. That way you tone your abs. And then we'd be like, so our dance teacher just told us to stay zipped and hollow, but you're telling us to be loose. Which one should we do? And they'd each be mad.
Like divorced parents.
Exactly.
Like arguing that, tell your mom
that I come at 6 p.m. on Fridays because of traffic. Okay.
If you're not ready by then, I'm taking extra time next week.
I'm sorry, we totally got off the sweatpants needing to be hemmed.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Andrew just he cut them raggedly. I think I relate to this deeply, where you're like, this many step process is probably easy and something I can do without looking it up. And he just raggedly cut them at two completely different angles. It was like he was doing a, like, you know, like if you buy a Party City pirate costume where it's cut in a zigzag at the bottom.
Yep.
It was basically that, but at two different, a high low.
Truly. And I wore them all the time. I wouldn't change out of them once movement class was over. I think it probably says a lot about my mental health at the time, where I was so divorced at all from how I was moving through the world and what I looked like at all. Like there was my nice hoodie and my not nice hoodie.
Oh my, you know? Andrew, Andrew to Andrew, Farmer Beckerman. Okay, they're out here. That is this Andrew as well. That is a beautiful soul connection you two have.
Yeah. What was it? I don't know.
What was it for me? I don't know. It's the look. I just always wanted to. I can dress nicely if needed, right? But like, I just always wanted to just wear a t-shirt and jeans. That I just wanted this to be my uniform, right? Always.
And is it for the look, or the feel? Which one do you think more?
Both. I think it hides my body in a good way. I think it. I think there is like I'm not. I don't know. I'm not like. I'm not shaped like a Pixar beast.
Pixar.
That's a good t-shirt. That would be a good t-shirt.
I'm not shaped like a Pixar beast.
Listeners, you want that
t-shirt?
Every t-shirt that I've suggested. Now the t-shirts that we have made do well, but every other t-shirt I've suggested, I don't get a single comment. I've wanted to make a t-shirt with Mabel on it that says Mabel is Lord.
No one's bitten. they look terrified, actually. Andrew and Anna are terrified by that idea.
Mabel I love it. Lord. I'm just picturing it. Lord the singer or Lord the God?
No, Lord. She's a Lord and Savior.
Yeah. I'd certainly get that on coasters, at least. You know?
Yeah. With little wings, maybe?
Coasters merch is nice.
Yeah.
That would be a good t-shirt. Coasters merch is nice on a t-shirt.
But, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's just
you like to cover your body.
I like to cover my body, and I like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I love a hoodie too. And like, I don't like a pullover sweatshirt. I need to have the open.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For quick escape.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But okay. Before we take a break, I just want to ask one other question, which is like, okay, you guys said you had a fallow period.
I know.
What happened?
Oh my God.
This is big.
Listen, here it boils down to this. College. Improv group drama.
Yes.
Every college improv group has a level of drama that has almost driven people to the brink of death. And we were in a college improv group. Yeah. And things happen. Mm-hmm. And like, I, you know, you can feel so horrible about it for a long time and every kind of bad feeling. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you did Zip Zap Zop with other 20-year-olds... you're all going to go to war together at each other. And this is true across the board. It's true for sketch groups. I'm sure it's true for speech and debate. I'm sure it's true for theater. Any sort of like group that doesn't have a job at the end of it. Like,
yes, yes. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is for you, but like, this is both my first improv group and my first sketch duo with my old friend, Mark, where I was so ambitious and so wanted to professionalize all of it that ambition drove other people nuts.
Yeah, it was a downer, kind of. Interesting. It was like trying to make it real when I think some people just wanted it to be like a fun fuck around.
Right.
Yeah. I think also like a thing that happened in that group, many of who these people are like dear friends of ours to this day, but we made an improv group based on like who our new friends are going to be. Like, you know, it wasn't just like we do comedy together. It was also like we got dinner together like 4 to 5 nights a week, you know?
Uh-huh. And then slowly everyone started living together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that there was like I think all these things come to a boiling point where, I don't know. I also think, and I'll just speak like personally here, like, I think as we neared graduation, there was this mounting panic, like we were in the middle of a global recession, and there was this feeling of like, I've got to suddenly like put all my focus in like turning this into a career. But a career from our perspective was like doing comedy in basements, you know? So there was all of this like extra pressure. Our social circle had become so tight that I think things just like blew up in 1,000 different directions between like virtually every member of the group, including Anna and myself. And, frankly, and I don't think I've ever told you this, at our college graduation, my mom, who is Anna's biggest fan imaginable, saw Anna and was like, "Oh, like, let's go say hi to Anna." And I was like, "Oh, Anna and I are not really talking right now." And my mom said, she was like, "Oh, I'm surprised by that. She's such an important person in your life." And my eyes like welled up with tears. And then I just had to be like, I don't feel anything at all.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
No, oh my gosh. Yeah. No,
I know what it is, though. Like, I felt the same way. I remember we passed each other outside of Yankee Stadium, and I saw you, and you were like with our friends too, I think. And it was just like, oh, it's so sad. Like right at graduation, I kind of like lost that whole crew and like no one was their best self. So it's like, you know, things happen. But like I just had my boyfriend at the time and then like his friends. So I was like, am I the kind of person who's just going to go through life like blowing up my friend groups and like and really it was college improv drama. And like the sketch group at NYU had like each generation had its own like, you know, opera level drama. It was just it's exactly what Andrew's saying, where it's like the pressure of professionalism and then also like we all live together and eat the same graham crackers and like it just is too much. When you share a box of grams with someone. But like I had this I know it's sad. My mom definitely was like listened to a lot of like she was like, Anna, you're talking like you walked out on your husband and family. Like, I think you had a fight with a friend group. And I think that happens. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I was not taking third beat seriously.
He wouldn't listen. I wanted us to build up our financial coffers so we could go on the road. And nobody wanted to invest.
Yeah, there definitely was that too, where I was like the de facto president of the group, and I was like, everyone needs to email me back. And like, I think I was the only one who didn't live with everyone at the time. And like, you hate the like, it's annoying, like you know, to be the harpy who's like, none of you are doing this club right. I'm mad at you. Like, there's gonna be tribalism, and it's gonna go at that person.
And then you guys came together in New York later. And was it like, as you said, you know, some of this you're saying, we never talked about it. So like, was it ever like a, let's make amends? Or was it literally just like some years passed and it was like, hey, what's up? Let's stop.
I think about this all the time. And Anna, I think it's like one of the best ways of contending with the past while also like moving towards healing a friendship. And we had exchanged like an email. We'd exchanged an email that was like about something unrelated, like a silly video or something. And then I said, like, would you want to maybe like check in, like grab a coffee or something? And I've like never forgotten this phrasing, which was like, the only way I can see us doing that is if like we both acknowledge right here and now that like each of us did things to hurt the other person. I can find the email.
I said that?
Yes.
Ah! I'm making a shocked face. Please don't find the email. When I look at emails that meant, like, I can't, I'll die. But oh my God, I can't believe I said that.
Yeah, and
so
you were
confident.
Like, if we acknowledge that we did things that with the intent to hurt one another and say, like, that we're both sorry for that, then I feel like we can, like, meet up again.
Wow.
And I thought like, it was one of the best. I thought it was, like, one of the best ways of phrasing that because it was, like, it is not shutting a door. It also is, like, putting a boundary that's like, I need to take care of myself in order for this to be like healthy and not fall into old patterns. And it acknowledged the truth, which is like, sometimes people do things that hurt people by accident. And that's one thing. And then sometimes people do things to hurt one another. And like, that is something that has to be in order for a relationship, friendship, a working relationship to move forward. Like, those things have to be acknowledged. And I just remember being so impressed by that, Anna.
Oh, I'm impressed. I can't do that now. But I know what you mean. Like, ideally, the best amends is like living in reality and just like calling out what happened so that you don't feel crazy.
Yeah.
You're not like, why am I being nice with this person who I cried about? Like, but yeah, like, it's just so interesting. Like, I do think that we took it easy too. It wasn't like we have to like take a full inventory of everything. Like, we're going to take a breather and we're going to get a coffee because sometimes people get coffee together and we're people and like, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. And we can take it very easy. This is something I think about all the time. Like when I'm sitting in Andrew's house where I'm just like, my God, life is so long. Like if I knew that, like I would, you know, life is so, I just never, like at the time when you're like 22 and you're like, no one has ever, like you're sitting on his couch and you're talking like my dog rocketed a vomit of like dog frozen yogurt on his couch one night. And it was a couch that was getting thrown out. But like, as the like projectile vomit was rocketing from deep her diaphragm, she was loose in the diaphragm. Like, you know, like when a dog vomits and it comes from all the way in the bottom of their body. Like, I was watching. Yeah. A true
heave. Taking an African dance class.
She did. She was lifting. She was up.
Totally.
Like, watching that. completely just rocket, like it, yeah. it hit the couch and didn't make sound, but like I was like, wow, my dog is vomiting on his couch, and how lucky am I to
right. We're friends
here. Be apologizing.
Here.
I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. It's so hard to talk about, though, too, because, like, I have confrontation terror or, like, any kind of, like, because I have so much guilt and, like, self-loathing, and it's hard to not tip into that when you're, like, making amends and, like,
yeah.
It just, yeah. It's hard to contend with the idea that I've ever hurt anyone, and I think mm-hmm. that's something that a lot of people feel, and, like, it's easier to just sort of ignore it. Which I, you know, a healthy dose of ignoring it is good too, right?
I do. I think something Anna and I share. We both come from Catholic backgrounds, which, yeah, there is so much emphasis on like the default is that everything you do is terrible, which creates a lot of bad behavior, you know. But the one positive thing is, I think if you are the sort of person who feels guilt very deeply. The recognition of like, I'm capable of hurting people and doing bad and doing wrong. I think some people have like a very hard time with ever getting there, you know? Mm-hmm. I remember like, I don't know, something my parents said to me when I was very young that made me feel like, oh my gosh, I could be hurting people that I'm not even aware. Like I was constantly, oh, it was that, something like a thing had happened where I had done something. I had dropped like an ice cube on the ground and I didn't pick it up. And then later, like one of my brothers slipped on it and like hit his elbow or something. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I dropped the ice cube. And my parents were like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, everything we do impacts other people.
Oh my God.
And then truly like my 8-year-old brain was like, virtually everything I do impacts other people. And in that moment I was like, negatively.
Right.
It's all ice cubes.
Yeah. Anne and I have spilled our share of ice cubes.
Is that on a t-shirt?
That's all ice cubes? Yeah.
Andy, stop it. Coaster merch. The only thing going on a t-shirt. You guys, we're going to take a quick break so that we can answer relationship Q from you with Anna and Andrew.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah. which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. Back, Andrew Farmer, Anna Dresden, here to help you handle your scandal.
As you do at least one of these. What are you guys going to say?
Well, I was just going to tell them. I was like, you know, we get our questions, Eddie. We get them via DM, Twitter, DM, Instagram, email, couplestherapypod@gmail.com. My absolute fave, we get a voicemail. Okay? And you guys, I'm going to say it like I do every week, 323-524-7839. You call me. You tell me where you're at. Let me hear in your voice the darkness, the sadness, the confusion.
I love this. I almost did not want to take a break to do this, but I think we already said that we were going to.
You did. We had said we were going to take a break, and it was like literally 9 minutes past, and we were getting in deep. And Anna taught us about boundaries and how to move forward with people.
I know, okay. When you were like, "We'll take a quick break," but this thing, I was like, "Well,
I need to know."
All right. Why don't we do a voicemail?
I love them.
Here we go.
Hi, Andy, Naomi, and guest. I am reaching out because I am recently diagnosed as high functioning on the autistic spectrum. And it makes a lot of sense, especially why, like, the quarantine was so wonderful to me. And now getting back to seeing people, I'm kind of going into that depression, like just being around people, experiencing a lot of just whatever. And now knowing why it is that I just don't like these people, I'm happy that I know about myself, but it's weird because I still feel like I need that sense of connection, or like I need people in my life, or like a partner or anything, and there's kind of anxiety that I won't ever find that. So I was just calling to see if you guys have any advice for somebody who recently was diagnosed on the autism spectrum, albeit high functioning, but still ways that I could make friends that maybe don't involve. Oh, by the way, I'm gay, so, like, don't involve going out to gay bars or drinking all the time or just being in places with lots of stimulants and stimulation. Like, how do I, a single person with no friends, just, like, join somebody's D&D group where I go to a stranger's house or something? Like, is that even normal? Is that possible? Is that weird? I don't know. Let me know if you have any advice. Thanks. Bye.
So... Usually I try to find a question that at least our guests are, it's part of their identity in some way. I can't ask our guests,
right.
Any guests like, oh, where do you land on the spectrum? So I just thought comedy writers, there are three comedy writers and a stand up, Naomi, also a writer, where, you know, at the very least, I think we have some kind of empathy or sympathy in the direction of, like, time. I don't want to be around other people.
Right. Or, yeah, the difficulty that comes with socializing. Right. And also, I mean, Anna, let me know if I should cut this. You're sober. Should that be?
I'm sober. But it's a big secret that I can't stop talking about.
So it's like, you know, you made a pivot, especially with, you know, obviously, because, like, being in the world of comedy, being, mm-hmm. you know, young in NYC, you know, the decision to see, like, okay, that's not what I do anymore, so now where do I go, or who am I with when I'm out that doesn't trigger me, that is actually fun to interact with? You know, I assume it took you time to find that.
Yeah, and I think Andrew can relate to it too with the, like, the bar scene, like, when you don't feel like that matches who you are, it's a bummer, when especially when, like, the vectors for friendship are sort of geared towards people who are naturally very social and very, like, mm-hmm. woo. And, like, I've never yeah. said woo and kind of meant it, you know, like, I've always been making fun of someone. Yeah. It's hard. I guess, like, for me, like, I definitely had to alter who I liked hanging out with, because I was like, I like these people. But anyway, like, getting a diagnosis as an adult is really, it's like a combination of, like, a bummer, because you're like, oh, all that time that I could have had support, or like that I felt crazy, but then also it's a relief because you're like, oh, it wasn't just me being so bad at socializing. Right. But even still, I've always been someone who's like very anxious socially, and like I just naturally I have some like tendencies to forget to ask people a question. Like if someone asks me how my weekend was, I tend to say it for too long and then forget to ask them how their weekend
was. Same.
And I like am constantly so trying to remember to do that. I don't know if you guys watch Love on the Spectrum, but like
I did. They, yes.
It's great. Yeah. It's like people on the spectrum, a lot of like high functioning people and like all over the place learning social skills. And I was like watching it, basically taking notes like, oh, right. Talk about your interests. Ask someone about theirs. But yeah, in terms of like meeting people, I think it's always good to start with what you're interested in. And like, if you like movies or like going to the movies, there has to be some like going to the movies club somewhere, or like a meetup.com. Like, it doesn't have to be sports.
I know, like, does meetup.com exist anymore? I was wondering about that.
I used it when I was traveling by myself in Colombia. I found a language exchange night where you spoke Spanish with Spanish speakers and then English with people who are trying to learn English, which was cool. But it doesn't seem like it's as
popular. It used to be the go-to. But I do like that idea. I think it's also like, you know, when you talk about... when you say you don't have any friends, are you exaggerating? And by that I mean, sure. Is there like one person who you like to get coffee with once a week? Because I would kind of use that, like, you know, you kind of use that one individual to give you sort of a running start, if that makes any sense. Or, you know, you sort of like, and again, keeping it low key, you're not like saying, take me to a party at your friend's house. But, you know, if it's like, oh, we can all like, we, you know, we can sit at this like chill restaurant for 90 minutes, you know, and because I just feel like you know, you meet people through other people.
Yeah.
And if you do feel uncomfortable socializing, it might make things a little easier if you have that middle person connecting you. So you're not going up to a total stranger.
Does that make sense? Especially like, I think generally I have a family member on the spectrum, and like, I think it's easier to experience new experiences when you are doing it through the lens of someone you already know and like and feel comfortable around. Like my brother will try new stuff, like new foods and like new activities, if it's with someone that he's friends with. Mm-hmm. It's just easier to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. I mean, like certainly in like the queer world, at least how I've experienced it, like I think it's very common to be like, oh my gosh, all anyone cares about is like meeting up at clubs or going to bars and like not having your shirt on. And I think it's important to like, certainly that does exist. And there are a lot of people who like do find comfort and camaraderie in that space. But there are a lot of people who don't feel that way. There are a lot of people who feel the same way that this listener feels. And I mean, this is not, this might not be the thing at all, but I think as was discussed before, like leaning into what your interests are. Like I have gay friends who don't drink, who like joined a gay men's chorus, or like join gay yoga groups, or like spaces where you can be with people that are not, that don't hinge on like your face-to-face social interactions, mm-hmm. as like trying to make conversation, but rather like being in a place with people doing something together and letting relationships, friendships, etc., form organically and at your own pace, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did the listener mention D&D?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that feels like a good, but then it's like, how do you meet the people? It's a chicken egg thing, but like,
I think there's
like a good activity.
If I remember right, someone from the couples therapy quarantine crew, which is when we were doing a weekly Twitch show during quarantine.
Oh, cool.
I believe they mentioned there's like ways to like find D&D groups online. So you don't even have to go somewhere. I think there's ways to do it over Zoom. And you can probably Google that to find what I'm
like
talking.
To join a game.
But to join a game. I think there's finding people that way. I've never used any of the apps, but like on any of the apps, is there a way to like say you're looking to like join a men's choir or whatever?
When
like,
you say the apps, you mean dating apps specifically?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Your Tinders, your Scruffs,
your Twinders.
Yeah. Twinder.
Twinder.
Twinder, Tinder, Grinder.
I know on Bumble you can have it for friendship and also for networking. I don't know how many people are on there for it, but it's an option.
And certainly there are, like, I know, like, on Scruff, there's, like, I'm just new to this city, or I'm new to this town, and I'm looking for friends. Like, I think that's a very common thing, too. And I think people are certainly getting a lot better at, like, recognizing what someone is looking for and, like, sticking with that, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously, not always, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, if it says, I'm looking for friends, but then it also says, and I'm a verse top. That makes sense. I threw a bunch of words together.
First stop.
I am like a bottom in friendships. I'm like, you do it.
Yeah.
I'm a pillow queen. You make the plans.
Anna has
You
her
make
own,
the plans.
We're making a float for Anna, just a pillow queen, just to ride just, down.
But I'm not on it because I was so late to the parade. You left without me. It's empty. Yeah. I also think that like I it's like, if you can, if you're into like comic books, like find the comic book shops that you like and go there and like talk to the employees about what they like and read there if you can, or like get in touch with like the people who write the books that you like. If they're small enough that they might respond.
Oh, I was like thinking
on Twitter or something.
You know, Meltdown used to have like a D&D game.
Yes.
And I wonder if like local comic shops, I know there was another shop I saw, I was walking past it in like Silver Lake, and I saw people playing like Magic cards or Pokemon or something in there. So like that might be a good locus just to find games too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you said, the artists, you know, the comic book, the writers or artists you like, I was even thinking like, use that to be like when that person's giving a talk back or whatever, you know, because I'm assuming, you know, people, they go on tours with their books maybe, or, you know, they go to different bookstores. Like that's just like a thing you do where you're around people, but you ain't supposed to talk. You're just supposed to listen anyway. And it's like chill and mellow.
But let me throw this out to as for somewhat socially awkward people. How I have always had difficulty going from like stranger to just a conversation.
Like, what do you mean?
If someone talks to me, I'll be friendly and as long as they're not being an asshole, like I'll be friendly and talk back.
Yep.
But I can't make that leap to someone else. I can't just like start talking to a person next to me. I find there to be this like very like a difficult emotional barrier that I can't push through. I wonder if that's the same for you.
Yeah.
And then how do you actually do that? Because it's one thing if someone, like, you can go to these things, but if no one talks to you, if you just stand there weirdly and no one talks to you, what good was it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I there is value. Go ahead, Anna.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, I think that, like, when you're standing there worried if people are going to like you or not, they're worrying if you like them because you appear to be someone who doesn't like someone when you're worrying if other people don't like you.
A cool like customer? Would you say a cool customer?
A cool customer always has a man. yeah, like, just, like, assume... this was hard for me to learn. Andrew, maybe you relate to this as a former Catholic. Like, assume that people like you when you meet them. And, like, assume that you like that person.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's easier to be friendly with people when you're like, hey, I know people that I like. Maybe that person who's new to me could be that, you know?
And I do agree with that. I agree with that very much. And like, I think so much of forming new relationships and interacting with people is learning to be able to let go of uncomfortable interactions, you know?
Mm.
Like you do initiate a conversation with someone and you perceive that they're weird about it, like, that's okay. And sometimes it's not a match, you know?
Right. So if you ask somebody, you know, you say, I like improv too, and they say, where did you train? You have to shake it off and smile at the next gal.
Yeah, exactly.
And then your friends. And exactly. Then your friends.
And then your friends forever, no questions asked, whether you like it or not.
It was also roughly around the time when I met someone in Welcome Week who I asked her what her name was, and she said Lizette. And I said, oh, I love that name. And then she asked what my name was, and I forgot my name, and I said Lizette. It's not that I forgot my name. It's that I was just the first name that I heard was Lizette. Yeah. And I said that. And then I never spoke to that person again. You know?
Oh my God, where is she?
Yeah, and you know what, again, like, it was a process to be like, yeah, that was incredibly uncomfortable, and I'm moving on, and it's okay.
Right.
Shit happens.
Let's look up Lizette on Twitter.
Just Lizette?
Lisette, I believe.
Ooh, with an S.
Do y'all have time for one more?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. This comes to us from Sam in quotes on Instagram, direct message. Y'all, your show gave me a straight up revelation today. My partner comes from a family entirely made up of bit boys. This explains so much. Okay, I don't know if they explain what a bit boy is. A bit boy is if your relationship is if the emotional bridge between you and your friends or your lover or whoever is bits.
Jokes. Ooh. And quoting jokes. Movies and bits. I mean, you guys know bit boys.
Yes.
You did it.
Yes.
We are. We're two bit boys.
We are bit exactly. boys. I hate
bit
to say
boys.
It. Yeah.
Okay. Reformed okay. bit boys.
Yeah.
Reformed. I'm proud of you.
Okay. Question, though. Being raised by a bit boy. By the way, boy
is BOI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Across
naturally.
The board.
So we're clear. Naturally.
It can be any gender. Being raised by a bit boy family a la Andy, Jesse, and Jordan. So we had this came up when we had Jesse and Jordan.
From Jordan Jesse Go podcast.
Has made it very difficult for him to get in touch with his emotions. But he doesn't see this as unusual since that's all he's been raised to know. Is there a way to help him understand that there is a vast depth of emotion that he is missing out on?
Oh.
Some background info on us. We are both in our 30s, living in Salt Lake City, Utah. Ooh. Neither of us is currently nor were raised Mormon.
Okay.
So they're just in
Salt Lake City. You're just there.
I'm non-binary, use they, them pronouns. He's a cis guy, uses he, him. We've been together for 2.5 years, cohabitating a little over a year. Let's call him George and me Sam. George is a gentle, witty, sensitive, just a real catch. He's above average, though not exceptional, haha.
What?
At listening to others.
Oh. Okay.
Oh my God, I was so scared.
I really was so scared. Yeah.
Forgot there was an end to that sentence. But doesn't know how to open up about himself or really get to the root of his feelings. I was raised by a social worker and a crisis counselor, so I learned to mine those emotions from a young age. Though, of course, this is a lifelong process. When his family gets together, it is just nonstop silliness, puns, wordplay, roasting, Simpsons references, so on and so on. For the first hour or two, I'm in stitches, happy to play along because they really are very funny. But since much of his family lives out of state now, the visits are usually multi-day affairs, and this goes on for days.
Yeah, I get it.
Never-ending bits, riffing off each other, especially between George, his sister, and their dad. It gets exhausting.
Absolutely. I'm tired hearing about it.
But whatever, right? That's how they communicate. That's their thing. I never thought that much about it, or how it relates to one thing we fight about the most, when George is clearly upset. We're talking heavy sighs, clomping around, sudden irritations. My boy is not subtle. And I ask him about it. It's as if he has no idea. Barely knows if or why he is upset, and certainly doesn't have the words to describe it. Oof. And then, worst of all, gets a little defensive that I find it so important that I know what's going on with him internally. Like, just doesn't understand, which baffles me, which baffles him, on and on. He's used therapy before for more crisis-like situations that have come up, and doesn't seem to think the situation warrants therapy. And to be fair, we aren't in crisis. I'm in the lifelong depression mode club, and go to therapy consistently when I'm able to afford it. I just don't know how to explain how one understands and talks about feelings, because I've always taken that skill for granted. And I think he's got a depth of emotion that is not being tapped into because he was never taught how. He doesn't know what he's missing out on. What to do? Big fan of you two, and this pod consistently gives me life. Much love from the High West.
All right, Sam.
Wow, Sam.
That was a lot, Andy. When you said you got time for one more, and then you spent 7 minutes reading it, I said, Andy, you done changed the game. However...
It was worth it. What a good question.
I think it's a great guy.
So, we got some bit boys here.
Yeah.
I think, Naomi, you might be the only one not a bit boy.
I know.
At this table.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll start with you. How'd you crack me?
How did I crack you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even remember now. It's been, what, 47 years? I can't even remember how I cracked you. It was just like,
I'll tell you one thing.
Yes, good.
I'll tell you one thing. I remember early on in our relationship, you gave me a printout of a book about demon dialogues.
Oh, yeah. I printed out specific chapters.
You printed out a specific chapter for me to read about
homework.
From some psychology book or something.
Wow.
About getting...
about demon dialogues,
which are like... Go on.
Cyclical kind of fights you always get in, right? Like a couple. Oh. And it's like how it's basically like there are like seven types of these arguments, and I feel like I printed out maybe two for you where I was like, yeah, would you just read this and see if your heart can connect to these words? Because me trying to be a, I mean, yes, you're right, in a homework, so like rude, but it was like better, I was like, see if you read it and see if any of it makes sense to you, see if any of it resonates, you know, because again, if you are an internal person, it's probably easier to figure that stuff out reading versus like being put on the spot to talk about it, right?
Yeah. And I think the thing is that prime me. Now, you can't force someone to do something like that, but you can prime them, I think, right? And I had to go through some stuff, with my improv group and with my sketch group where I was like, I'm repressed. I'm not
Well, as my therapist now says, I wasn't repressing. I was just letting the emotions happen, and I was just like watching them through a window with my hands on the waving through the window. Whoa. And watching the emotions happen outside with my hands pressed against the window. Right. So I had to go through the drama and then be like, I think I really need to like get in touch with myself. But Naomi was the one who primed me for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can prime someone. Now, Andrew, Anna, as Bit Boys, has someone else opened you up? Or was it a process you had to go through on your own?
Chris and I, my husband, talk about this all the time. That my husband's a composer, a fan of aviation.
aviation.
And the big secret, very funny himself, but not in a way that is like, he's not going to hold court. That's not his way, you know? And I like him coming into my world of comedy friends. It is so, it's like getting on a tilt-a-whirl while it's in motion, you know?
Yeah.
And it can make you feel like, I'm just not going to do this.
Yep.
But I think a thing, and it came in from, I think, Andy, you're totally right. You can't like force anyone into anything, but you can like present an opportunity and continue to present that opportunity. and Chris kind of came at it from the side one time where he was very vocal. He's like the easiest going guy in the world. But if there were like, if I was like 15 minutes late to a date, he'd be like, hey, I just want you to know, like, when you're 15 minutes late, like, I know it's not a big deal on a macro scale, but like, it kind of makes me feel like you don't value my time as much as you value your own. And like, when that had happened like 3 or 4 times, a part of me began to be like, can't you just let all these things bottle up inside and blow up when we have an argument about something completely unrelated and stupid? And I think like introducing the idea of expressing like feelings that are not maybe fully formed or are not like fight worthy, but are just like, hey, like, you made me feel this way, or like, I'm feeling this way today, as opposed to like something that is confrontational, but it's just like sharing. I do think that Chris's ability to share those things with me made me able to open myself up more so that I wasn't always like performing a veneer of the most fun version of myself, you know? And I think that really led us like, have more substance filled conversations that were like more vulnerable. And also like we have a lot fewer fights because we know where each other stand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's exactly what you said, where it's like living in reality and like having patience with yourself and with the other person that like, and something I had to learn with Jason that he really taught me was like, you can just say what's true. You can kind of say what's happening. You don't have to like work an angle. It doesn't have to be somebody's fault. And you can actually say what's actually happening instead of like what you wish were true or the version you're not embarrassed of. Like I definitely am Bit Boy, but he also, something I had to learn, he's like showbiz nerd guy. Like he loves knowing who shares an agent and like the Snyder Cut was sort of a biblical event in our household. And, like, and it is interesting. Like I learn a lot from him where it's like, I didn't used to give a shit about that or like tracing which directors are doing what. And like, but like I would get frustrated because he would want to, it's similar to Bit Boy stuff where it's like, he would want to, we'd be like cuddling and he would say like, man, I just have to say something. This might sound crazy. And I'd be gearing up like he's about to like say something emotional or like propose. And what he says is like, Dave Bautista keeps scooping up John Cena's roles and it doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, I hope this car crashes. I hope we both die. And I get mad. Like sometimes, like I don't want to talk about that stuff. And I'm like, why are you telling me this? Get in better touch with your friends who care about it. And he has had to turn to me several times and be like, I want to tell the woman I love about the things I care about. And like, similar to what this person's saying that their Bit Boy spouse or partner is like, the bits are how they connect with people. And like, mm-hmm. it is an act of love and saying something emotional and I love you by sharing that with the person, or at least like, or that's how they connect with people. And it sounds like this person knows that. Something I've had to realize, like my mom wasn't a bit boy, but she doesn't like to talk about emotional things either. And I spent my whole childhood just trying to like have emotional conversations. And she'd be like, the azaleas are coming up, or like the neighbor cut down a tree. Like she can't, like, it's always like plant-based, but like if we would go for a walk in the nature preserve in our town, we could have emotional conversations because we were walking. So she felt like something was happening, but like, look and see where the conversations you want to have are happening. Take it in a different context. Like Jason likes to have like creative conversations in the shower. Like if he's in the shower, both of us are like, I'm in there keeping him company. Like, and it happens at night. And we realize like his brain revs up at night where I'm trying to like rev down and like connect as people. And I just realized like, if he's in the shower, he gotta get it out. It gotta come out. And like, we have more emotional conversations when the lights are off and we're in bed at night, and like, I want to be asleep, but like, then emotional stuff starts coming up and like, but that's, it's just adjusting to a different kind of schedule. So like, see if there's like a place or context where like, he's more open.
I was saying, you might not be into this. I was like very ready to be like, okay, no. When they start doing bits at hour 3, go to the guest room. Okay? At some point, you just have to remove yourself from the situation.
I know.
I think Sam has done a really good job of recognizing... George was the...
Yes, George.
Sam has done a really great job recognizing George's like love language of that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's worth letting your partner know what love language you like to receive, you know?
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's not ask. I know it's like love language sounds very Hallmark and eye-rolly, but I do think it's the most expeditious way of saying it. I think that like the version of what George can provide in how you like the emotional conversation that you want, like if he becomes aware of it, it sounds like he is an emotionally receptive person. And like I have the sense that if you can communicate what you would like to try, I would guess he'll do his best.
And I think that would happen in regard to the arguments, because they were talking about arguing with each other, and or like when he gets mad, he stomps around the house but doesn't say anything. To me, I'm like, that is a moment, maybe not when he's actually mad, because he's not receptive, but afterwards, just talk about how that makes you feel.
Totally.
Don't say like, I hate when you do this, like, you know, we live together and share space, and when you are visibly angry and, you know, making noise and sighing, it puts me on edge.
Yeah.
You know, tell people like that kind of thing.
That's like when I would get angry in the car and you're like, hey, when you get angry in the car, it makes the whole thing feel bad. It makes the whole car trip feel bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then I'll repress that and I'll punch the wall later.
Well,
but no. But
like, that works for me.
It's like, you can, I mean, look, can we talk about driving in LA? I mean, it's really terrible here, but like...
I mean, we can.
There's ways. You don't have to like start screaming, you fucking piece of shit, like as you're driving. There's ways to like get that anger out without doing that. And when you say that to someone, they're like, oh, and they recognize, they're like, oh, okay, I can figure out how to change my behavior if it makes this...
Right, if it makes me very stressed out.
I know. Yelling. It's interesting too, like what you put out is not always what you intend, and then like what the person takes in from it can be so different. Like Jason is from Utah, and he perceives my East Coast Jew sounds as yelling when I'm just like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna drip it. You're dripping. Like that for him is yelling. And for me, that's just talking. And like, I didn't know that I came from a culture that yells until I dated a former Mormon. Mm-hmm. And whereas with him, I hear him as condescending because he worked in a phone store, and he brings that energy to a lot of conversations sometimes without intending to. And like, we just know that those are the things that can rile each other up, and we try our best, but like, you know, I think also naming it and being like, oh, it's that thing that you do where you're being angry because this thing happened. Like, Jason will, like, I get weird when I'm stressed out about something, like, professional related that I'm, like, avoiding. And then I start being mean. And, like, hangry is a real thing. Like, he will just forget to eat and then be, like, psychologically devastated. like, kind of knowing your partner's rhythms and, like, naming it and being like, it's not that they're trying to make me feel the way I feel when they do that thing. It's that they're doing the thing that they do sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how helpful that is, but...
I think, look, I gotta say, just this whole afternoon has been very delightful. Between your show and our show, I feel healed.
I feel healed.
Can I'm good. That? I don't need therapy anymore.
I know. I'm gonna fire all four of mine.
We got a lot done. I think this was beautiful. Andrew and Anna, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
It was a real beautiful day we've had, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
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 Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.